Welcome to Pretty Lies and Alibis. Let's seek the truth and travel the long road to justice together.
What you know, alibiers, welcome to another episode of Pretty Lies and Alibis. I'm Gigi. What a day in the Lori Vallow murder trial, day 24. We're going to get into it in just a second. Thank you to everybody who's donated. I appreciate you guys. Music fact of the day, Queen's guitarist Brian May, who's one of my favorite guitarists in my top five. He's also an astrophysicist, and he consulted with NASA on its New Horizons probe. So there you go. Amazing guitar player. And a brainiac. I love that. Okay, we're going to get into this, y'all. I'm going to tell you, it was wild in there today. It was disturbing. It was cringy. It was a little bit of everything. We're going to jump right in. Okay, so we jump back in. Text messages from July 15th, 2019. Now, this is only 4 days, by the way, after Charles was murdered. 4 days. And it says from Chad to Lori, I know you won't get this text for another hour or so, but my love for you is overflowing right now. I just want to hold you endlessly. You are my wonderful best friend. I can't live without. Lori says, any yet? You are so sad. Missing you. Just landed. Got to get to work. Then on the 18th, Lori texted Chad. I just got a letter from the insurance company saying I'm not the beneficiary. It's a spear through my heart. Who do you think he changed it to? Brandon, probably Kay. He left nothing for JJ. And then Chad responds, who? Wow, that's terrible. There's no way to find out. Lori said, I might be able to see when I get his computer on Sunday and check the emails to the insurance company. He must have done it recently. Chad says, seems like you had to agree to the change. Maybe your name was forged. Chad says, it may be a step in bringing down the Gadiantons, especially Brandon. Lori said that Charles could have changed it at any time, and it must be Kay. And she was right. It was Kay. Chad said, not after two bullets in the chest. And I'm kind of paraphrasing there. These texts were up and down really quickly. I had a hard time keeping up with them, to be honest. Chad said he will give her a blessing. It's going to be okay. Then Lori texts back and says he changed it in March, and it must have been Ned before we got rid of him. These jurors, y'all, lots of note-taking. It seems like today was powerful for them in a lot of ways, and we'll get there when we get to those parts. But Chad said he will be alone until 3:30 and to text this phone after she leaves Temple. So the Gadiantons, the witness says they were robbers and part of a secret society. And I think I actually covered it on the crash course, too. Lori says you can't change it after the death date. They would review that. The witness says the Social Security benefits are also mentioned on the 18th. Of what she will get for JJ and Tylee. Chad says, I have been told to focus my efforts on Hillary. Now, Hillary is Tylee. And it says, so I will. Lori says, okay, find her percentage and JJ's. Chad says, she is at a 0.13. I turned up the pain to 10 and placed a spiritual virus in her. JJ is a 99.99. Raphael visited him and told him to follow Amy into the light. I assured him James would love and take care of his mommy, Lori. Lori says, that is sweet. I miss you desperately. So the death percentages, if it was close to zero, you were close to death. If you were close to 100, you were close to death, as you see Tylee and JJ both right there. There are three text strings regarding death percentages for JJ, Tylee, and Tammy. July 30th and August 10th are the others. There's references to being close to death. That would show both JJ and Tylee were close to death with those text messages. On the 18th, Chad says to Lori, you are adorable, beautiful, wonderful, heavenly, luscious, so angelic. So many divine attributes rolled into one desirable package. Okay, y'all. I swear. Okay, here we go. I'm just going to go there. Just grab me by the storm and I'll follow you to the ends of the universe. And Lori says, when might that be? And Chad says, Wednesday evening and repeatedly until Friday. Lori said, and then what? And Chad said, back to crying and saying goodbye. Back to the box. This trip to Utah had a lot of finality and I'm told extreme challenges will come to us. This references a trip Chad planned to take and to visit Lori that next week. This is on July the 18th, by the way. Chad went to Arizona on July 26th through the 28th, a Wednesday to a Friday. Now, the witness has to say this in front of a room full of people. Grab me by the storm. What is the storm? That is the nickname for Chad's penis, for Chad Jr., y'all. I can't even. So I tweeted out, Riders on the Storm, of course. I hope I don't get fired. The significance of Back to the Box is one-sided now that Lori is no longer married, but Chad is. So on the 20th, they start bringing in Melanie's and Brandon's kids. What is Blake's percentage? He drew three crosses on the wall in his bedroom. We just finished painting over them like he was marking it for the dark side to find him. Chad responds, Blake is at a 7. I took my sword of light and sliced his aura vertically in several places. You should be able to rip and burn it. I decreased his pain tolerance to 1% and greatly increased his pain. His desire to depart is 80%. Y'all, so now we see that Brandon and Melanie's kids were right there in the middle. And how scary that Melanie was trying, you know, she gave Brandon the choice. We went through all this in the deep dive in the Connecting the Dots series. But essentially, Melanie was like, hey, either the kids can stay here with you and I can do holidays or whatever, or summer vacation, or they can come with me and you can do the holidays and summer vacations. Thank goodness Brandon immediately was like, I will take the kids. They can stay here, because I'm not sure these kids would be alive if Brandon had not done that. And I think some of this stuff may be new to Brandon today. Just can't imagine the emotion that he might feel hearing this about his precious children. They are brought into this mess. I just can't imagine. So on the 21st of July, Lori says, found it. Ned gave all of it to Rhonda. Rhonda is the entity that Kay Woodcock had become. So help me, Rhonda. On the 26th of February, 2019 is when that change happened, by the way. Chad says, I'm glad you found that out. And Lori said, it fits now. She will try to take him. Thanks for working on her. Work on me too. Reading all this makes me sick. I did not say that. Lori did. But I agree, Lori, reading all this makes me sick. Chad said, we will work hard on Rhonda when we're together. I will get her numbers as low as I can by Wednesday. Lori said, good, let's work on her hard. The jury totally was looking at Kay and Lori and Kay and Lori and Kay and Lori when this whole exchange was going on. The jurors just are, I think, they're taking so many notes, but I don't get any sympathy for Lori in any of these jurors' faces at all. Have not the whole time either. People ask me that, so I just wanted to throw that in there. So Chad texts some of the loin virus store to Lori. It says Lori is an exalted goddess who is here on Earth for special missions, including being with Chad. And they would progress together as translated beings. Isn't that romantic? The loin virus story was actually spread out over time in texts and emails. I thought it was maybe sent as one story, but I guess not. Let me just tell y'all. Between the storm and loin fire, I had to practice some major self-control not to put a ton of gifts on my Twitter because I'm trying to be professional for law and crime. If I was home, it would have been fair game, y'all. They talk about continuing the James and Elena story. She returned to the hotel after additional romance on the couch. They calm their nerves enough to give each other blessings. And then they talk about they're in the sealing room to do sealing together. They kneeled across the altar. And they were sealed as husband and wife for eternity. A similar scene was happening on a higher plane where they kiss and unified their souls. Chad said the plan isn't clear to him yet. And there, that was significant to investigators because there was a plan. And the investigators thought it was a plan to progress together. The mission included them being together. But what's happened? Tammy's not dead yet. Chad says two lonely, misunderstood souls found each other. And Lori responds, I love it. Charles had been dead 10 days at this point, y'all. Digest that. The investigator got temple records, and it showed Chad and Lori were in the Gilbert Temple together on November 16th of 2018, very shortly after they met. I don't know if you put sage in LDS temples, but we might be seeing some smoke come out of those windows if they do, because they're going to want to sage it, just cleanse it. I don't know what kind of juju they brought in there, but it can't be good. It says, on that date, James and Elena knew they were sealed for life and married. So on the 21st, Lori says, it's making me so happy to read about our life that I'm finally going to dance and missing and loving you from afar. It was great. I feel free again. Can't wait to be with you forever. I'm begging father and mother. Chad says, I'll be right beside you begging just as much. Chad says, love you. Going with Garth to see Other Side of Heaven too, but excited to be with you. Lori says, I love you. You will enjoy the scenery. It looks a lot like Kauai, a lot. Hopefully we'll be there someday soon together. And Chad said, that's the plan and my greatest desire. Chad says, hi, darling. Back from the movie. We enjoyed it. Looking forward to being on a tropical island with you. Now, we know that that's where they were found after leaving Rexburg, and that's what the FBI agent talked about. They were married there on November 5th, 2019. And also, to end their time on Kauai, this is where Lori was arrested. On the 23rd of July, Lori says, morning, didn't sleep much. Need you to check JJ. Weird stuff happened in the middle of the night, like what distracted us with Blake. When you get home, check Tylee. She's being super sweet and helpful and cleaned her room. She got switched, not like her. You know, you think about how sad it is that Tylee could not win this fight because it was never about being switched or anything like that. Tylee was dark because she was a teenager that had her own opinions. Tylee was dark because she did helpful things like clean her room. Poor Tylee, man. It's just none of this was lost on the jury. When that part was read, I saw one female juror just shake her head like, wow. Chad said, yes, she was switched. Please let me know when you can talk and I'll explain it. And I put on here, the jurors look disturbed by this. So on the 26th of July, Chad says to Lori, how are things at home? And Lori says she's fine, needs him to check JJ. She said he was calm and he watched movies all day, which he would never do. Missing you. You know, Lori, maybe the kid was tired. Maybe the kid didn't feel good. Maybe the kid was suffering because he hadn't seen his dad in how many 10 days. And gosh knows what JJ actually saw that day. We'll never know. I am not convinced JJ was in the car. So this poor kid had moved recently to this new house. It's back and forth with Charles. Mom disappears. Poor kid. I mean, yeah. I'm ready for this to be over. It's been hard to learn these details, and it's been even harder to sit and watch Kay and Larry as they learn these details. Just devastating. Chad says, missing you too. It's still JJ. I'm told she is lying about him being calm and watching movies. And Lori said, Melanie knew. She called me. She felt the real Brighton, which is her daughter, last night and knew she was different. She is taking it well, and though it's part of a big plan, I am upset over it. So Brighton is Brandon and Melanie's daughter, who they are now saying has become possessed, and she's taking it well, and those is part of a big plan. I don't understand why Melanie's is not on this stand, y'all, because to me that says maybe Melanie's understands that maybe her daughter is going to have to die because it's part of the plan. There were some eyes raised in the jury as well. Chad says, home, missing you immensely and feeling tired, but I'm very tired. Had a splendid time with you. This is where Chad says he feels like he's Harry Potter and he has to live under the stairs and he has amazing adventures with his goddess lover, but he feels trapped. But he senses personal freedom is coming soon. So on the 27th of July, Lori texts Chad from Melanie's. From father, my sweet daughter, you have done well. I'm very pleased you have been prepared for every moment. Don't fear future happenings, therefore your benefit. No fear of the unknown. You have overcome all. Things will be fast-paced and you will be ready. Don't mind if I speed things up a bit. Lori says, nice message Mel received. I won't mind if he speed things up a bit. Chad says, yes, I miss holding you in my arms, caressing you and kissing you. I feel Mel's message was for us too. You're so wonderful. So the message Mel got from father, guess who father is? Chad. So on the 28th of July, Lori says, are you mad, sad, what? Chad says, doing okay. No privacy here to hardly text and I miss you immensely. I feel good about the trip. Lori says, I need a distraction while I'm waiting for you. I love you. And Chad says, absolutely. I think you will have a fun time. So at this point, investigators say this is only a few weeks after Charles's murder, and she's waiting on Chad to do something about Tammy. So Lori went to the California coast with Melanie's and some of her kids and JJ. They also say there's documents in the SMS file of life insurance, two photos sent to Chad of the screenshot of the life insurance policy showing that change of beneficiary. The second image was sent 1 minute later with another page showing Kay Woodcock as the new beneficiary. So on the 29th, Chad says to Lori, do you want me to cause pain yet to those threes you're riding with? Now, those threes is referencing Melanise's kids. Do you want me to cause pain yet to those two threes you're riding with? The reason that we think this is only Melanise's kids is because at this time, JJ had not been deemed dark. So I think he's talking about two of Melanise's kids, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe it was one of her kids and JJ. The plan was there, y'all. Lori tells him to wait till they arrive, and if they act up, I can text you and we can zap them. Chad said, if they act up, we can give them a reason to scream. I love and cherish and adore you. The wonderful memories come back. You are mesmerizing, and Raphael is one lucky guy. Raphael, as we know, one of Chad's other names. So Blake and Brighton are deemed to be possessed, and that might be the two threes that he's talking about. July 29th, Lori to Chad. From Kay, in response to what I sent Larry, are you angry with me? Charles did this. I told him I didn't want to be a party to it because somehow I'd be the bad guy. Lo, he must have had a reason. Insurance called to tell me I'm the beneficiary. Wanting JJ for the memorial has nothing to do with the money. Kay says he should be there because JJ was his son and also because they miss him. Kay said we should be able to get along and it shouldn't be hostile. I'll come tomorrow. Chad said, she doesn't seem inclined to share. Maybe Larry will talk to you. Lori said, they're jerks. I won't respond ever. The witness said Lori never responded to Kay again after this. I didn't get all of that. It went by fast. That was kind of the gist of it. July the 30th, Chad texts Lori, I got the inspiration to go back to my original death percentages that helped us track Charles and Ned. Tammy is very close. Her percentage has fallen steadily since Iplos left. He says, Tammy's death percentage is a 3 and JJ is at a 2. Chad said he would explain later and he's still feeling hot for her. Yes, we might need to release a little steam when we talk. Tammy said she felt lightheaded as if her body and spirit were connected. I will update the list to include Brandon, Adam, and others. The witness said this is significant because death percentages are talking about the actual death of a human being, and Lori initiated this inquiry into JJ. The witness also said Tammy is very close at 2 and JJ at 3 means very close to death. Lori's response was, why aren't they at a 0 yet? So what the prosecution's doing, and we know in jury selection, they said this could be a circumstantial case. Can you convict on a circumstantial case? Now we have that hair tied to the duct tape, which could potentially put her at the scene when JJ was being wrapped up, and I wouldn't put it past her. I expect her defense really to address that in closings that they live together. But what the prosecution's doing is showing that Lori was manipulating Chad as well. She's not this poor puppet on a string that Chad had total control over. She is initiating inquiries into how dark JJ is. And so it's showing her intent to get rid of these obstacles, as Chad called them. Several jurors were watching Lori as this came out. They were writing notes. She didn't really look up much today, y'all. She had that head down. And Chad says, I believe Lily Licious is a terrestrial world that encompassed our time together. And Lori says, yes, it does. Call me. I love you until then. And Chad said, yes, until then. I love you. No worries. Garth just arrived home. I absolutely adore you. We're going to have a fabulous life together. So what the witness explained is telestial refers to this world and terrestrial is other worlds. So we move into August. On the 1st, Lori says Panda was good. Just got JJ to sleep. Going to try and take a bath. Ty, meaning Tyler, yelled at me for 30 minutes, then took off in her car. Won't answer me. And then unlisted individual is who this actually was deemed as, but I think it's Chad, but it was unlisted individual, and it said that was expected. So that made me think this is Chad because he's telling her, hey, she storms off, she's definitely possessed, not 16. There were communications between Charles and Lori talking about Tylee being a teenager and being difficult, just normal stuff. So there were some photos that we saw today of Chad that was sent to Lori. They're both standing next to the same picture of Jesus. Alex, his caption says, look at the bubbies. And Chad says, two exalted beings. Now, this was sent to that Lolly Time account. that was only active from April to November of 2019. Text Chad on August 7th, 2019. I love you. Taking Braxy home now. She is asleep. By the way, Braxy is Melanie's and Brandon's daughter. She is asleep. She put a bunch of holes in walls and doors. Definitely had demons helping her, probably 1,000. Mel wants us to come up tomorrow. I said Thursday through Sunday. What do you think? We are both so tired of taking care of demons. We are weary. Please ask the Lord to take them. He points out that the witness points out this is a reference by Lori to Chad to have the Lord take the children or have them die. So on the 7th of August, Lori texts Melanie's, we just had a big fight, probably no go next week. Melanie's asks if she's okay. Chad texts Lori, my heart is crushed, but I will never stop loving you. Melanie's says to Lori, I love you. If you need to talk, call. I don't sleep. It was a hard day. Don't let dumb things get to you. You know who you are. Praying for our hearts to be made full and for the Lord to execute all things. And then Melanie's was aware of the Lord's plan for them. That's what the witness pointed out. On the 8th of August, Chad says, missing you, heading to the girl's funeral. Emma was her teacher and is one of the speakers. This is very difficult, but I will abide by your request not to talk. I hate causing you pain. Then he texts, good night, saddest day of my life. Grandpa Keith is here. I'm supposed to warn you that you're unprotected. The angels are angry. You're ignoring me. I understand you need some space, but you cut me off and the protection I put around your house is gone. Chad said, if you give me a thumbs up, I will restore our connection enough to give you some protection. Lori says, I love you. And Chad says,
thank you, my love.
So he's manipulating. She's manipulating. If you don't respond back, you're open to attack. But at the same time, today, really focus on Lori's manipulation. And we're at the end of this case. I thought this was the last witness. We all did. There's going to be another one tomorrow. But this really started tying everything together. The fight, by the way, was about Lori not going to visit in Rexburg. She was ignoring his text until he mentioned he was not manipulating her into responding, which he was. So on August the 9th, Lori says, can you check Nathan Pacheco and see what level he is? Is he light? Now, Nathan Pacheco is some kind of a gospel singer that apparently Lori had a huge crush on. And she also says to check Mike Stroud. Melanie Gibb thinks he went dark, but I think he's light. Chad says, I'll check. Any guesses on Pacheco? Lori said, just tell me. And Chad, of course, says he's 4.1 dark. Lori says, nope, 5.1 light, part of our team. And Chad said, we'll go with your answer. Lori said, why? What's wrong with your picker? What about Mike Stroud? Chad said he's done a great infiltration job. The witness points out that Lori disagrees with Chad on his assessment, and this is kind of a new thing, and she designates her own score that contradicts Chad's because she had the hots for the gospel singer. Base is an overpacker's dream. It can be hard to fit everything in, especially when it comes to luggage. With Base, there's room for everything. 2 weeks worth of clothes like I've been doing? No problem. Deciding between a few pair of shoes? Bring them all with Base. Base was created by actress Shay Mitchell to make sleek and affordable bags, luggage, and accessories designed to help you travel effortlessly while still looking fashionable. Base has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushion handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and all the interior pockets you need to keep organized. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors, and for my shorter trips home on the weekends from here in Idaho, the Weekender bag is the most functional, and it even has a place to store your shoes separately. Every piece is made to look better with miles, so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Base has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through the security line, Base has your personal items covered. Right now, Base is offering my listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/whattheworld. Go to basetravel.com/whattheworld for 15% off your first purchase. That's Base, BEIS travel.com/whattheworld. Lori says, please check JJ. He just woke up saying crazy stuff and won't go back to sleep. He's talking to Blake. It's weird. Chad says, JJ is still JJ. I'm told his spirit recognizes Blake is evil and is unsettled by him. Hi, my love. How is JJ now? Lori said he's better. He was up talking nonsense for 3 hours. I'm sure they were bugging him. Is he at a zero yet? I miss you. Boom. Is he at a zero yet? Not lost on this jury, y'all. I assure you that. Chad said, yes, he's at a zero. He probably was partly through the veil talking to light and dark people. Lori said, maybe he was talking to the real Blake. And Chad said, yes, that was the real Blake. Lori said, do you think there's a perfectly orchestrated plan to take the children? We just have to wait for it to be carried out. I feel lost. I should be doing something to help Chad. And Chad says, there is a plan. Lori says, what should I be doing? And Chad says, you're doing everything right. The Lord told me she is on the right track and resolved the telestial issue, so you are free. Lori said she felt JJ was barely attached to his body. Chad said her mission has barely begun. Lori said, as long as it ends with you, it's all good. Chad said, yes, cheek to cheek, loin to loin. Isn't far away, my love. Lori says, I wish I could see you and be cheek to cheek. Chad said, I can't stop crying. I was allowed to feel my own emotions. I will experience as you sing them, and the love and the admiration I have for you are indescribable. Lori says, I can't wait. I literally can't wait. I have no patience. I want you now. Chad says, we're so close to the finish line. We'll make it. Oh, man. It was hard to keep up with these text messages. They were not on the screen, so I may revisit some down the line here. But the witness is pointing out that Lori, again, asked about JJ and his percentage. And according to Chad, he was at a zero. What happens at zero? You're ready for death. Chad said that he was shown about the plan, the perfectly orchestrated plan to take the children. Chad said, I was shown last night how it fit together, but it has been taken from my mind, of course. Chad said, it's good JJ was talking to the real Blake, getting close. When I was sitting across from him eating bacon, I sensed he was barely attached to his body, speaking of JJ. Chad said, the Lord said Lori was on the right track and resolved these issues, so she is unencumbered and fully free. The witness says to be fully free, obviously, is the obstacles, which are JJ, Tylee, Charles, and Tammy. There's a picture of Lori in a yellow bathing suit on the beach from August 10th, 2019. The text accompanying that photo said surprises are waiting. So on the 10th, Lori said, very good description of what just happened. Wish you were here to experience this with me. Thank you for being mine. Wish I could take up and kiss your sweet, tender lips for real. You're my everything. Gag me with a spoon, y'all. At this point, the witness is explaining portals to the jury a little bit. On the 11th of August, Chad said, I will join you. Partly why I'm so sad is my Boise trip has turned into a trip with extended family, not happy. Lori said, how much more of this can you take? And Chad said, they want to go to Craters of the Moon National Park. I can't take much more. So trapped. Chad says, the next 2 days will be torture. I'll be alone Wednesday and beyond. Lori asks, is that what he wants? Me sitting waiting for you endlessly and you wasting time? It doesn't feel right. It feels so drawn out. So there's that manipulation of, hey, I'm getting restless and you might lose your exalted blonde goddess if you don't speed things up. That's just really the impression that these texts give. Chad said, I'm frustrated and sorry. And Lori said, you can keep tearing my heart out. I can't take it more. I'm so sorry. Chad said to look beyond the next 2 days. And Lori said, what about the last 2 days? I didn't talk to you on your birthday. If you really loved me, you wouldn't want that either. Chad said one of his kids was there and he really couldn't talk. And Lori says, this is when she does the big one. Give all your love to your family. She says she can't do this. She'll be there if anything changes. And Chad said, so crushing. I'm destroyed. My love is deep and real. I want change and you. I'm hindering your life. Chad says he would leave her alone until he heard from her. Lori says, you can't say to me nothing else matters. Everything is before me. If that's what the Lord wants, I need to do something to pull myself out of this deep despair. Too much, too long. The pain is unbearable. Chad says, you're right. Put me aside until things change. The pain is unbearable. Lori says, are you going to threaten that I'm unprotected for doing so? And Chad says, absolutely not. I'm so upset. I demanded they protect you more than ever. Lori says, I'm so alone without you. It's devastating, Chad. Me too. We are surrounded by telestial relatives that are obstacles. I'm so sick of it. That's what Chad said. Lori says, me too. What is it you really want? Chad says, I want to be with you. I would happily join you tomorrow if it felt possible. I don't think I got that absolutely right, but you get the gist of it. The witness said their relationship is the driving force behind the murders in this case, and the earthly relatives are the obstacles. So we jump to September 3rd. This is just 5 days before Tylee is last seen alive. Alex texts Lori, the Wi-Fi is in. What you doing? Lori said, working on Z's. Did you decide a username and a password? The network name, according to Alex, was anti-layman, and the password is the number 2, many kids. And Lori says, funny. Alex says, and I can change it to whatever you want. I'm proud of you. No more Z's. Lori said, we're trying to get to the bottom of what we need to do to eliminate them completely. I am sure you will be told also. This is right after the move to Rexburg, by the way, just, a couple of days in. So anti-layman, that's another individual in the Book of Mormon and the brother of Nephi, and layman essentially was a bad guy. The text, we are trying to get to the bottom of what we need to do to eliminate them completely, according to the witness, shows Lori working with Chad to eliminate zombies. There are numerous texts between Lori and Alex that were religious concept. So we moved to September 3rd. We're still on September 3rd. Alex says, I'm going to get lunch and to the range to sight in my rifles. Lori says, fine, you need the practice. Alex says, I do. Lori says, bad news on our brother. Alex says, what's that? And Lori says, Z, which means zombie. Alex asks, when was that? She said, forced out, I think. With his anxiety, he wasn't strong to fight. Lori said, Zach was a 3 light and JJ was a 4 light. Alex said, quote, that's when he yells, no, my lips are sealed. Lori says, good boy, I will fill you in this afternoon. What the witness points out here is this shows Alex is a participant in the group designating people as zombies, and he understood the concept of possession and zombies. They also point out Lori conveys this to Alex. Now, good boy was used by Lori to Alex numerous times in text. Like he's, he really was kind of like a dog that followed her around, right? Lori never pulled Alex back when he would say someone was a zombie. Now, one interesting thing, we get to the photo from Yellowstone with JJ, Tylee, and Alex. It was actually like a little video, and we got to see JJ and Tylee hugging, and it just made me cry. So this was taken on September 8th, 2019 at 2:49 p.m., and it just shows them really briefly and very sweetly hugging, not knowing what awaited that sweet girl later that night. Now, this was lunchtime, and so we jump back into the Lollytime account. There was a text with Sydney, who she hired babysit JJ on care.com. Lori offered her $15 an hour and says she's flexible with what time she can watch. She said JJ gets out of school at 2:30, so a few hours a week after school, she can watch JJ and make some money. Now, on the 18th of September, at this point, Tylee's been murdered. Lori tells Sydney they're home so they can meet. She says she's picking up JJ now, and they are excited to meet Sydney. Lori had nobody to watch JJ because the witness said that prior to Tylee's murder, she was a caregiver for JJ, and there are lots of texts related to Tylee helping care for JJ when Lori was gone in her fake little fantasy world that unfortunately ended in 4 people being murdered. So prior to Tylee's murder, Lori had a woman who worked for a company, I believe in Arizona, that Lori had a contract with. And for so many hours a week, she would come take care of JJ as well. Also, Charles cared for JJ a lot before he was murdered. And this care.com was the only reference that the witness saw. JJ, obviously, he said, was challenging to care for. He points out, and this is smart, on September 18th, Lori is the only caregiver for JJ. That's it. She's in Rexburg. Tylee's dead. He's nowhere near his grandparents, who would love to take care of him. So then the other thing, the picture of JJ in his red PJs, that was a video, and we get to see him playing, and it'll just rip your heart out, y'all, to see him and know what we know. So on the 24th, of September. At this point, JJ has been murdered. Sydney asks if she's still good to come that day, and Lori says JJ's grandparents came to get him and he will be gone until the end of October. The jurors were writing a lot of notes about this, and Lori says she may go see friends in Hawaii, and she would let Sydney know when they were back. They knew that Kay and Larry had not been to Idaho, But they always have hope, obviously, that they'll find missing kids. I thought for a while they were in a bunker. I thought for months they were in a bunker. I wish that would have been the case, y'all. So we moved to October 3rd. Chad texts Lori, "Good night, Angel Lily. So excited to go on our date." Lori says, "We're supposed to go on a real date tonight, but we are discussing it. An evening home would be better so we aren't out and about. You can come sing with us after your shower." Clearly, Lori's moved to Rexburg. We're into October on the 3rd. This is less than a week to the 9th when Tammy was shot at. But guess what? Chad texts her, "Hello, sweet angel. Big news about Tammy. The short version is she has been switched and is in limbo. A level 3 demonic entity is in her, and it is by her sister Sam, who is a 3D. Her sister Sam, who seems to be a wonderful lady, testified earlier in this trial on behalf of her sister and also helped them to narrow down where that pet cemetery was. Viola was attached to my niece, who is 12. I have contacted Tammy in limbo, and she's mad. She wants Viola removed. The personality changes should be evident quickly. Please seek confirmation." And that's interesting because Chad is asking Lori to seek confirmation. So again, it shows they're working in tandem. They're not, Chad's not the puppet master and she's not dancing around with the move of his fingers. It says, "Sam is like Brandon," Sam being Tammy's sister. "She refuses to read my books and threw a fit when we moved to Idaho. She only visited when the kids got married, always fled Idaho within hours. Not sure on the timing for removing Viola." So this is on the 3rd of October. Brandon was shot at on the 2nd, and then Tammy is shot at on the 9th. All this is happening right there together. Because at this point, Charles is gone, JJ and Tylee have been murdered, Tammy's left, and then Brandon, he's got the life insurance. Starting to, I think the picture's becoming very clear to these jurors what was up. On a side note, can we just talk about how lucky Brandon was to not, number one, be murdered in his own driveway, and number two, that he gets to raise his kids, potentially 3-4 other victims in this twisted tale. And, but I'm going to tell you, you see Brandon on the stand, it's not lost on him how close he and his kids came. You see that weight on him, and I think Brandon is a very good dude. I think he's a solid guy, and I just hate he got mixed up in this. This will change him forever. Remember, he very selflessly identified JJ's body, so Larry wouldn't have to. And so the witness talks about Rexburg being tiny is problematic for Lori and Chad to be in public. Lori is free. Chad is not. So Lori says to Alex on October 4th that she wants to go on a real date with Chad. And then the text from Chad with big news about Tammy came 12 hours later. I bet Alex probably put a little bug in Chad's ear. What do you think? The witness notes Chad was seeking Lori's opinion. Lori texts Melanie on October the 7th. "I feel we need to go to Missouri and work. Maybe we can fly there Thursday and back Saturday." Tammy was shot, we know, at the time she was in Missouri. They talk about flights. Audrey said they could stay with her, but they'll get a hotel and then Audrey can stay with them and she will take us to all the amazing sights. Melanie says, what about Brandon not being able to take the kids to it? Does Dad think I need to be here? Lori said, "You need to be unavailable. That's the schedule. Now, does Dad think I need to be here?" I think she's referring to Chad. Melanie says, "Okay, Captain." The "okay, Captain" comment by Melanie. The witness is asked if Lori instructed Melanie what to do, when to do it. And he said yes. And the only other person she did that with was Alex Cox, her brother. So on the 14th of October, Audrey texted Lori, "How did yesterday go with you and Chad working?" Working means on Tammy. I wish this was asked to her on the stand, y'all. I knew she was backtracking and I knew she was in a little deeper than she wanted to say. Lori said, "We did a lot of work today. We got her out, but a new one got in. Still working on it. Any ideas? Greatly appreciated." Audrey says, "Okay." The emoji at the end of Audrey's message to Lori is an emoji with a face with the X's for the eyes, which is a representation of death. So Lori to Melanie's, "Yeah, but until that arrangement is signed by the judge, is subject to change. That's the reason for the delay." Melanie says, "Is there a possibility he could go before I move?" And I think go might mean die. That's what I'm wondering. And Lori said, "There's always a possibility. We'll work on it. Just have faith and do whatever." Melanie said, "I don't recall the words to get him out. Should we try?" And Lori says, "I know them. I'll work on it now. Pull all your energy in." Melanie says, "I've worked on them all evening." Lori says, "Me too. He's got to be ready to go." Melanie said, I know that has to be about Brandon unless I'm totally missing something. So on the day Tammy was murdered, there's an unknown to Lori. I'm not sure if you heard, but Chad's wife died last night. And Lori says, oh my gosh, I didn't hear that. I'm in Hawaii and it's 6 a.m. Do you know what happened? The unknown says, yes, she awoke in the middle of the night, coughing, threw up, collapsed, and died. The same day his wife died, Chad texts Lori at 9:52 p.m. Not fun without you. Can you call me? Lori says, how are you doing is the question. Chad said, hanging in there. My parents are staying here and we are still getting visitors. I will call you soon. I mean, just like right after. Chad said, percentage and body. And these were some names I've never heard. Holsor, H-O-L-S-O-R is 24. Ucola, U-K-O-L-A is an 11. And Grizon is a 14. Great job lowering them. I loved talking with you. It's baby night. This is from Chad. It's baby night. So come get me later. I don't even want to know what baby night means because Lori's little ovaries were probably like grapes. And those two procreating is terrifying. Missing you so much, I can feel you in bed with me. Can't wait to hold you every night. Lori says, I need you to hold me tight. That would be great. What about the idea of you coming here Thursday or Friday? Or do you want me to come home? Chad said, their apartment is haunted and we can't clear the place, so they're moving away. I need to be here to sort financial stuff out. And he needed Lori's help to sort financial stuff out. He says they can go to Hawaii soon. And I want to get going full steam on the Lily workout, full body tan, grow my hair out. Good for us both. Lori said, not soon enough. This is torture. Clear my mind. I feel you. I feel lovesick. Chad said, I'm feeling sad and it's not for the reason everyone thinks. This was the day after his wife was murdered at 8:25 in the morning. October 23rd, Lori said, I had a bad dream about Alex. Make sure he is still him and protect him. He would be the one they use to get us both. All this alone time is not good for him. I will die on the hill that Alex Cox did not just happen to drop over dead. Mm-mm. Chad said, I just cleared all of Al's weapons, curses, and cords and filled him with a malachite healing balm. I also put angels around him. Malachite's poisonous. Just pointing that out. It blows my mind right after Tammy Daybell dies. Who knows the most out of everybody in that group most likely? Alex Cox. What happens? He's being labeled as someone that somebody may use to potentially get to them. There was a note in her notes on her iCloud. Alex Cox, multiple creation, fourth creation, exalted 9 times. Sibling to me 2 times on the fourth creation. Rose is exalted, married 3 times on the fourth creation, and became eternal companions after the fourth creation. His mission is to help Lori. Alex's role, we know, to protect Lori. And Alex fully believed that was his mission, according to the witness and also to everything we know. Lori texts Melanie, this is interesting. Will you do this job if your whole family turns against you? That is what the Lord has asked of us. His glories will be worth it and they will shrink in our presence. It will be a sad day for those who oppose us when we work for the Lord and are His. Now, the witness talks about he has seen emails, videos, text messages, and he found the patriarchal blessing from Chad to Alex. Chad wasn't authorized to give the patriarchal blessing, as we know. And the witness says that with any geographic stake, there's one person who's called to be a patriarch, and they're the one who administers those blessings. The third paragraph is read about Lori needing a protector. Alex was the guy. As she grew in power, he was there. The witness says Alex was part of the group, and Lori told Chad they would use Alex to get them. This mattered because in the totality, Alex had a role in the events that took place. We all believe he is the one that physically murdered JJ and Tyler, and we know he murdered Charles. They read some more from the blessing. And in the blessing, you have already assisted us in ways that can't be repaid, but you will continue to do so as you move forward. Another paragraph says, through adulthood, you will have refined yourself. The Lord says, well done. Your soul is cleansed. All is well. So they talk about obstacles, money being the life insurance policy, social security, digital evidence, the agreement with Chad, Lori, and Alex about things. Lori's words of planning the future and wanting to be together is significant because she generated these exchanges. There were deleted texts off the phone that are still in the cloud. Some of those were deleted chats with Kay Woodcock, messages from Kay to Lori about wanting to FaceTime JJ or have him come to Charles's memorial. There was obviously no communication with Lori's iCloud and Ty Lee after the 8th, but there was before. Before the 18th, Lori's iCloud had pictures, emails about the kids, messages about the kids, videos of the kids, normal stuff. After the murders, no more evidence of either kid in the iCloud. That was a stark contrast to the time before September of 2019. They also talk about Lori never mentioned divorce to Charles, but we know in February of 2019, Lori told Chad that Charles was going to serve her. And then June 29th of 2019, just a little more than a week before his murder, Charles told Lori he would divorce her. Remember, in February, he filed for divorce, pulled that back. She went to Texas for a hot minute to get his affairs in order. And she never searched for a divorce attorney. So Judge Boyce overruled an objection where Mr. Thomas said the testimony had nothing to do with divorce, but Ms. Smith said this is part of the conspiracy. So in the emails, there are references to Tylee, JJ, and Tammy being dark. Lori never contradicted that. She aided it. November 19th to June 2020, law enforcement never stopped looking for JJ and Tylee, and that's what you do in missing child cases is hope for the best until that case is resolved. There was no evidence, however, that Lori was looking for JJ and Tylee after September of 2019, and no evidence that she mentioned they were alive after September of 2019. That was the indirect cross. He was asked about the patriarchal blessing, and this went back and forth for a while. What evidence do you have that Chad didn't have the authority to give them? He asked if he contacted the church headquarters or the bishop. The witness says something about the bishop, but then Thomas says, I didn't ask that. The witness said he personally did not ask, but it sounds like somebody else did. Chad was a ward clerk, by the way, not a patriarch. Thomas asked who you talked to, and the witness said it came up in interviews and just over the course of the investigation. Thomas asked about videos on Lori's iCloud, and there were hundreds. The only ones played today were the two short videos at Yellowstone and the last morning JJ was alive. But Mr. Thomas said there's videos of Lori singing to her kids, playing on the beach. Normal interactions, they weren't shown today, and the witness said that was correct. Thomas asks about from Lori to Audrey. Hi, Audrey, this is Lori. Text her, call me. She's excited to talk about what we both know. He asked the relationship between Audrey and Chad. They met in the fall of 2018, and Audrey saw Chad as a spiritual advisor. Thomas asked, did Chad talk to other women over text, including Melanie Gibb? Melanie's Zulema, the witness says yes. There was also a reference to Julie Rowe, but no text on there. There was a number of women in the group, and he led it. This is what Thomas said, and the witness says, along with Lori, meaning that Lori led this group. You see, they're back and forth. Thomas talks about the number of texts he went through and says not all were about the affair. There were normal text mix in there. And the witness asked with Chad, and Thomas says, no, text about Lori doing normal mom stuff, her texting other people. And the witness says, yes, there were texts in there about taking her kids to school, appointments they may have, getting them food. And the witness says, yes. Mr. Thomas says, you reviewed a large number of texts. And isn't it true Lori was a good mother? And there was a long pause by the witness. And he said, with the exception of what happened to her children, yes. So Mr. Thomas asked, Lori led a normal life until she met Chad. And the witness said, I'd say so, yes. Then Mr. Thomas asked, do we know her prior passwords for Wi-Fi before 2019? He said there were some exchanges between Lori and Charles, but he can't specifically remember. So Mr. Thomas said her go-to password was the number 5 kids, the number 4 ever, 5 kids forever. The witness says he may have seen it, doesn't remember it specifically. Thomas said Alex sent Lori a text about setting up her password. Is it possible Lori was busy and set it up and couldn't remember her normal password? There was an objection, sustained. And then he asks, did you find too many kids meant she had too many kids? And he said it stands alone. What that meant. So Mr. Thomas asks if he knows who Nathan Pacheco is. And I Googled right there in court. And Thomas asked, did you Google him? He's a famous religious singer and Lori had a crush. So the defense says, Chad says this person is light and dark and everyone goes along with it. So if Lori had a crush, maybe it was joking, and that would put that rating into context. Objection sustained. The defense says there was no other time when Chad gave a death percentage and Lori would override him, and the witness says that's correct. So the defense asks, have you ever seen Romancing the Stone? Those are the names of the characters in there. And he asks, did you do any research on it? And the witness says, that's hard. Chad assigns names to people. How do I research Ira and Ralph? So the defense moves on. JJ was at a zero. What does that mean? And the witness says they're ready for death. And within 6 weeks of that text, JJ would be dead. The defense says, depending on how you want to look at it, zero or 100, they could be close to death. There's an objection. Judge Boyce allows it. So Chad texted Lori. The defense brings this up. She is at a 1.3. I turned up the pain to 10 and put a spiritual virus in her, meaning Tylee. I assured him, meaning JJ, get this, y'all. This is so disturbing. I assured him James would love and take care of his mommy. The defense says, you said low or high could mean death. And the witness said that was his understanding. And Mr. Thomas says, is it true you don't have an understanding of death percentages? And the witness says, I disagree. Tylee, JJ, Tammy, they were dark and they died. Thomas asks essentially if this is all fantasy and references Dungeons and Dragons. And the witness says, well, I suppose, except for the fact that three people are dead. The defense asks if there's talk of using a sword to cut through an aura. He says, that's fantasy, not real. And the witness says, not real. The defense reads Lori's text. I just got the letter saying I'm not the beneficiary. The defense says her main concern is Charles left nothing for JJ. The witness says that's what she states. The defense says this trip to Utah had some finality to it. Changing's coming to Utah. The witness says he doesn't know. Then the defense says, well, Chad predicted earthquakes in Utah. Did it come to pass? The witness says, I don't know. Mr. Thomas says, was it fantasy? The witness says not everything was fantasy. The defense says, from father, my sweet daughter, you have done well. I'm very pleased. You indicate father, you thought that was Chad. And the witness said, yes. The defense says, is it possible Melanie's got a revelation of her own? And the witness says, Melanie's frequently referred to Chad as dad or father. So the defense brings up a text from July 30th, 2019. We might need to release a little steam. This is the chart that checks where mortals are, like Stanley, George Bush. He asked, did you find that chart? The witness says, nobody found it. So the defense says it's fantasy. The witness says, I don't know if it didn't attach to the file, but we didn't get it. The defense asks what the witness means when they had used religious concepts to manipulate others. And the witness said, Chad said he was a visionary. He could tell light and dark spirits. He got revelations. And then the defense asked, would he use those for his own selfish purposes? And the witness said, yes. And the defense says, including with Lori. And the witness says, at times. Cross was over. Ms. Smith was back up. Is there any evidence Lori manipulated Chad and Alex? The witness says, yes. The state says, Alex believed what Lori and Chad told him and acted on the religious information given to him. And the witness says, yes. Ms. Smith says, you talked about other women texting and calling Chad. How many of those women had their children buried in Chad's backyard? And the witness says, none. That was the end of the day. So, and the witness is off the stand. We do have another FBI agent, I believe, coming in tomorrow. Maybe some similar texts. There was some argument about some exhibits coming in. And again, Judge Boyce is worried about some of the verbiage in it. So I'm sure that'll be fixed. So maybe tomorrow we get more of this madness, y'all. Almost an hour of this. So I'm going to sign off. I'll see you tomorrow. You can find me live tweeting Pretty Lies Alibis. Check me on Law and Crime Network at 8 a.m. and then at lunch break. And then tonight I'll be on Cuomo. And I'm not sure this will get out before then. But anyways, we will see you guys soon. Hope you have a great evening. Try to digest this, y'all. It just gets worse and worse every day, doesn't it? Man. All right. We'll see you soon.